There we go. All right. Well, sweet sorghum can be a feedstock for biofuel because it accumulates a large concentration of sugar in its stalk, very similar to sugarcane. And but when you're developing a new crop, there are all kinds of things you have to think about. But one of them is, what harvest method do you use? And harvest method has lots of ramifications. But on a large scale, there are three basic ways to harvest sweet sorghum. First is a whole stalk. And this was done for years with sugarcane, called a sorghum, a soldier harvester. Then there is the chopper harvester or combine harvester that is used today in sugarcane. It harvests and cuts the sugarcane into billets that are usually in sugarcane about 9 inches long. And then also, if you don't have a chopper harvester, you can harvest using a forage harvester. And the choice of harvest method affects transport and storage of the crop. If you have smaller pieces, you have a higher bulk density, and you can get more in a truck. And when you can get more in a truck, you can increase the distance of your crop from the processing plant and still have an economical transport. However, smaller pieces also might tend to deteriorate faster. So the purpose of this study was to look at how harvest method might have on affect the juice quality and storage properties of the sorghum. So to do this, we had three varieties and four replications. The varieties were Dale, Tyus, and M81E. These were planted on the Ardon farm near Schriever, Louisiana. This is in the southern part of Louisiana, in sugarcane growing areas. It was harvested at 90, 115, and 140 days after planting. And I'll say that when we first harvested at 90 days, Dale was about 2 weeks post-anthesis, and Tyus and M81E were just coming into anthesis, so it was very early for them. Whole stalks were stripped, cut at soil level, stripped, topped, and then divided into four treatments. One of the treatments, we left the stalks whole. In one of the treatments, we cut them using a chop saw that you can see here into 40-centimeter billets. We also cut them into 20-centimeter billets, and then we shredded them in what they use in sugarcane for testing. It's called a pre-breaker, but basically it's a large hammer and knife mill, and it breaks it into little pieces that are similar to a forage harvester, except it's a little more shredded apart. So these were stored in plastic bins, and we placed these bins in a screen tent, mostly to keep the little animals out, like squirrels. And then we sampled them at 0, 1, 2, and 4 days after harvest. So the juice was expressed from the samples, and we collected data on juice pH, juice Brix, titratable acidity, and then simple sugars by ion chromatography. We analyzed the data using mixed model analysis, and the 3 days after planting were analyzed separately. It was a split, split, split plot with repeated measures covariance, and cultivar treatment and days of storage were treated as fixed effects. So I'm only presenting data from from 140 days after planting. So first of all, juice Brix. Now, people very often use juice Brix as an estimate of sugar. But you can see that actually during storage, there was sort of a mixed message here. Juice Brix actually in many cases went up over time, and that was because we were getting a lot of dehydration. And juice Brix, I want to point out, is not sugar. People use it as an estimate of sugar, but it's actually total dissolved solids. So it's sugar, it's organic acids, it's salts, and in some cases it's also starch. the bricks measurement really didn't tell us very much. But when we looked at juice pH, it was very clear that when you shredded the sample, after one day, you could see a large decline in juice pH. The other treatments, there was virtually no difference. There was no statistical difference in juice pH over the 4 days of storage. With sucrose, you did see a decline in all of the samples, in all of the treatments over the 4 days. Now, a lot of this is probably due to inversion by invertase in the juice or in the stock, and it's a lot more active in sweet sorghum than it is in sugarcane, and so it fairly rapidly takes the sucrose down. However, glucose goes up in the whole stock and the billet treatments because it's all the sucrose is just being converted to glucose and fructose, and you can see that the glucose in the shredded tissue is just eaten away. It rapidly goes down. Fructose is almost similar to glucose in that in whole stock and the billet treatments, it increases over storage. In the shredded treatment, it increased after 1 day. That's because of inversion, but then it decreased. And one of the reasons that fructose is different from glucose is that microorganisms prefer glucose, and microorganisms will eat what they prefer first, and then they turn to other things. It's called catabolite repression, and they actually don't even turn on the machinery for eating things like fructose until they've gone through the glucose. And it's believed that they prefer glucose to fructose because it is energetically easier for them to metabolize glucose than it is to metabolize fructose, because fructose has to be first converted it has to be phosphorylated and then isomerized into glucose. Total sugar, you can see in this whole stock and the shredded, whole stocks and the billet treatments, despite the fact that the sugars themselves changed a bit, the total sugar remained the same. And in fact, there was very little evidence of a loss of sugar. Now, these values have actually been adjusted for the water loss. So it looks like that the sugars really are fairly stable in whole stock and billet treatments. On the other hand, on the shredded treatment, most of the sugar was lost by the second day. Titratable acidity. Again, in the whole stock and billet treatments, there was very little change in acidity. But in the shredded treatment, it went up quite a bit over the first couple of days. And this is because a lot of the product of microbial activity is the production of organic acids, especially lactic acid, one of the big or microorganisms that are found in juices of sugarcane and sweet sorghum are lactobacilli. So to get back to this question about whether you can use bricks to estimate sugar, if I deleted the sugar samples from the analysis, deleted the shredded samples from the analysis, so it was just the whole stock and billet treatments, there was a very good correlation and regression between total sugar, in this case in milligrams per mil, and bricks, with an R-square of about 0.93. So you're explaining about 93 or 94% of the data here. However, if you look just at the shredded samples, in which there's a lot of deterioration of the sugars, you can see that the R-square value for this relationship is very small. It was significant, but it was only 0.3. So there was a lot of variation there that in bricks that was not explained by sugar. So our conclusion is that sugars in shredded sorghum deteriorate within one day after harvest. That sugars in whole stalks and billets are stable, but although sucrose does convert to glucose and fructose. That Brix is not a good estimate of sugars in deteriorated sorghum, but that pH or titratable acidity would be a good indications of deterioration. So the final conclusion is that billet harvesting would probably be preferred because it's a compromise between increasing your bulk density but stabilizing your sugars. And a 20-centimeter billet would have a greater bulk density than 40 centimeters. Now, I do have to add a caveat that these stalks were gently handled. They were cut by hand. We would cut them by saw. And it is possible that if they had been harvested with a billet harvester, that in the process of cutting and tumbling them up into a wagon and then tumbling them out at the processing facility, that you get more damage and therefore more deterioration. And I believe that's going to be the next experiment, is to actually look at deterioration of billet-harvested, actually machine-harvested sweet sorghum. So I'd like to acknowledge the many people who helped with this experiment, people both at New Orleans and down in HOMA. So I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes?
So in your regression of your bricks versus sugar, it shows a correlation, but it doesn't regress to the origin. So I was wondering what your interpretation of that is.
Oh, that it starts at a higher level? You mean that it's not zero?
Well,
part of it's because there are other things in juice that contribute to the bricks. That's not sugar. So your sugar could be zero, but you would still have bricks because you've got organic acids and salts and various other things that contribute to bricks. And I've since done a little variation on this. Sugar people actually like to look at milligrams per gram, and we actually didn't weigh the juice to measure it out. We used it by volume. I've gone back and sort of recalculated, and you get a different equation. We did a back correction based on the weight of the juice, and unfortunately, because we did this after the fact, so we had a lot more missing data, so the correlations aren't as good. But anyway, does that answer your question?
I just have one left. In terms of chopping your whole stalks into billets, so when you look at the total life cycle analysis, you're putting in a lot more energy to chop your whole stalks into billets.
Mm-hmm.
So are you?
Okay, well, the question was talk about the life cycle and you're actually putting in a lot of more energy to chop the whole stalks into billets. On the other hand, if you take it to a processing facility, that's the first thing they're going to do. They're going to chop it up. So whole stalks actually you can get a lot more in the truck. And so there's the advantage of, and the process of chopping also, you blow off a lot of the leaves. Leaves come into the processing facility without sugar, but they go out with sugar. So you want to cut back on the amount of leaf material. Whereas if you're doing whole stalks, if you have not burned before, you're taking that material in, and that would be a disadvantage to you. So yes, you have to spend some energy to cut the stalks into billets, but they're going to be cutting it up anyway. So